Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not over, Lee. Barack Obama made it clear yesterday. We get power again. Democrats get power again. You conservatives, free speech. Your free speech is done. We're going to censor you. They're not even hiding it.
Well, why should they? Because
yeah,
apparently they're not getting a lot of pushback.
No, and I've said this before. Mm-hmm. In the past, if Democrats won the presidency, it meant we might have high taxes. They'd kneecap the economy. Things would be bad. But going forward, every Democrat president that wins means we probably won't have Bill of Rights freedoms again. We may never get them back. We only got them back by the grace of God this time. We were very, very fortunate. Every time a Democrat wins the presidency now, we may never have free speech again. I'm serious. And Obama was very plain about that yesterday. He says that what we need is the new journalism, Lee. You looking forward to practicing this new journalism back there in the newsroom?
So that's what they're calling censorship now, is new journalism.
Yeah, no, it's not really censorship. It's just a new sort of journalism in which Democrats choose the facts and nobody else. But other than that, I mean, you love it. It's very similar to what we have now. Not. Here's Obama describing creepily, Orwell would have loved this, the new journalism, which is no journalism at all.
Part of what we're going to have to do is to start experimenting with new forms of journalism and how do we use social media in ways that reaffirm facts, separate facts from opinion. We want diversity of opinion. We don't want diversity of facts. That, I think, is the one of the big tasks of social media. By the way, it will require some government, I believe, some government regulatory constraints around some of these business models in a way that's consistent with the First Amendment.
No.
But that also says, look, there is a difference between these platforms letting all voices be heard versus a business model that elevates the most hateful voices, or the most polarizing voices, or the most dangerous in the sense of inciting violence voices. And
he must not have seen Blue Sky lately.
So I don't think he's then talking about the Democrats who are criticizing the federal government's ICE and Border Patrol efforts. And I don't think he's talking about people who criticize Israel, is he? He's trying to have an excuse for only the kinds of speech that progressive Democrats like.
Yeah, they'll pick the facts. I mean,
exactly.
We saw that. That's how it worked under Joe Biden.
That is chilling.
Yes.
That is absolutely chilling. That is Orwellian to the nth degree.
Yeah, and they're not hiding it. We will pick the facts. Now, we'll let you have some opinions on the facts, but—
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Just like Obamacare will save you money and you'll see a reduction in your monthly bill for your health insurance. Yeah, uh-huh, sure, we believe that. Yeah, there'll be some opinions, but we get to pick what the facts are.
Exactly.
That's straight out of the Soviet Union.
Yep.
Straight out of the Soviet Union.
And they're not even hiding it.
No.
As they call Trump a dictator, the guy who lets— everyone share their views in accordance with the First Amendment. Now, why? This is what's scary. Why is Obama saying this right now? Well, there's something called the Stanford University Cyber Policy Center, okay? Obama's given a very similar speech to this before. He did it in 2022. And 6 days later, Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security announced that it had created the Disinformation Governance Board to be led by a woman, Nina Jankowicz, who insisted Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. And the Russia hoax was true. So you can understand the set of facts they'll be picking. The fake ones. Well, that got shouted down. It didn't work, right? Now, Democrats are losing badly, Lee, and they know in an environment where there is free speech, they cannot win. Okay, so what did Obama do on the 26th of September? And I was screaming about this. You saw former CIA director for Obama and his personal mentor since he was in college, John Brennan, go over to Ireland to help them implement their censorship system. Do I have your attention now?
Well, you already had my attention, but...
Yeah, well... They got together on the 26th of September, along with Stanford University's Cyber Policy Center. That is led by Obama's former Russian ambassador. And representatives, so it was Obama and representatives of European governments, the UK, Brazil, and Australia, all got together on September 26th with this Stanford University Cyber Policy Center to advocate for a worldwide censorship body that would censor Americans and everyone else on Earth via iron-fisted control of all social media. So this was in September. This is why he's coming out now to sell this. This is real. It is happening now. So he gets together with Europe, UK, Brazil, Australia, former head of the CIA and hopefully soon in prison, John Brennan. And what their plan is, and they're very open about it, is that U.S. tech companies will find it significantly less expensive. Just go ahead and have a single global censorship regime and just go along with foreign censorship requests. Their goal, they already have in your, they've already got European censor. Their goal is to censor Americans. And they're not hiding it. They're not hiding it. This would all be led by a one world government built around censorship and the Stanford Cyber Policy Center, again, which is led by Obama's former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul. Okay. So they had this secret dinner on the 24th, between the leaders and top censorship officials, Europe, UK, Brazil, California, and Australia. The Project Liberty Institute, led by Frank McCourt, there's no liberty involved here, has now donated $500 million, $500 million, as the seed money for this new international censorship regime. What they're betting, and they're not hiding this, okay? Their blueprint, which was revealed at the September 24th meeting, is a single total government global censorship regime that uses the EU's market power, known as the Brussels effect, to force tech companies to comply. Otherwise, they'll be pushed out. And they could also be fined. And if you've listened to what the EU is doing, they're talking about a 6% fine for Elon Musk for not censoring, not just of Twitter's revenues, not profits, revenues, X, I should say, X is revenues, not profits, revenues, but also taking 6% of his global revenues from all of his companies. Or he can just censor for them inside America. Obama's at the helm of this. So that is why he's saying we need the new journalism. It's not just random or him making conversation. They think they can get this censorship regime back on us before the 28 election. Even with Donald Trump in office. Chilling, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is just, once again, this is Soviet era type of talk.
Yeah. And they think they can do it. And look, what they've seen before is that Brazil threatened to put ex-executives who were on the ground there in prison, and they impounded millions of Musk's dollars, and he gave in, and he censors for them now in Brazil. So they saw that, and when I saw that, I went, oh no, this is going to get so much worse. He might cave, he may cave. And this is why when he had the split with Trump, I was terrified, and I still am today. Because we don't win anymore if there's censorship. We don't. We stop winning. It goes away. So we need free speech to win. It's why we won this time. We will not win again without it, and they know it. Now, Lee, they're already making moves. I've been talking about them censoring 4chan. The UK Daily Mail is demanding a backdoor so its censors can go into 4chan, which, you know, has some smutty stuff, some white supremacist stuff on some of its boards. Mostly it's just a cheap knockoff of Reddit, and most of the topics are just, you know, just whatever, hobbies, special interests, not anything, you know, interesting. But because they allow total free speech, the censors are demanding a backdoor in, and they're currently suing 4chan. Now, what's interesting about that is 4chan is, like this show, already blocked at the border of the UK. You can't get to, people go on vacation, try to listen to my show, they can't get it. They can't get 4chan either. 4chan is only in America, but right now the UK, Obama, Stanford, all these people are advocating, they're saying we have a right to censor 4chan in America on American soil. Now, 4chan's telling them to pound sand, right? So what leverage do they have? Google. Want to know how free you are? Go on Google and put 4chan in. See if it comes up this morning. That's their next target. We'll go after Google. Google will censor Americans and 4chan by making it unavailable, or Google pays. That's where they're going next. They just haven't filed that lawsuit yet. So this is very real. We are still on the razor's edge, and Trump needs to get his rear end gear on this. I don't know how you stop this, but they need to figure it out, or we're not going to win again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We always stop on the show and note it when things we've never seen before in human history happen. Generations have to navigate something that human beings have never had to navigate before, and that's going on right now. As Rolling Stone points out this morning, love to know if your teens have gone through this. Right now, we still have some kids in the car right now forced to listen to this show because dad's got it on. You seeing this? Headline. Some Gen Z men are so scared of getting filmed, they've stopped dating. And I read this and I went, that's silly, wimpy. And then I read it and I went, oh man, this is terrible. People are using others' dating fails to gain clout, and it's having a chilling effect on young men's lives. And by the time I read it, I totally got it. Here's what the writer writes. On a Friday night a few months ago, I was on FaceTime call with some friends and other seniors in high school. We were hanging out in our room, scrolling through Snapchat, when a friend of mine mentioned a girl he knew from one of our sister's schools. He wanted to text her, but his thumb froze. Send it, bro, one friend said, but screw it up, it'll be screenshotted. He didn't send the text. At the Chicago high school I graduated from in June, phones were out during private and public moments. It could be in a class when someone fumbled a presentation or at the cafeteria when someone tripped. Most clips stayed in private Snapchat groups shared among a few dozen kids, but they could spread further and cut deeper. Last year, a friend from another school was filmed in his attempt to ask a girl out in a hallway. It was overheard, in other words. Even though it was awkward, he didn't do anything crazy in the video, and it was mostly just a rejection. You know, time-honored tradition. If you're a guy out there, you've ever asked a woman out, you've probably been rejected. It's part of the human condition. Sucks, but it's part of the human condition. You hurt for a while, you get over it, you go on. No biggie. But now, it lives forever. Even though it was awkward, he writes, he didn't do anything crazy in the video when he asked the girl out. It was mostly just a rejection, but someone recorded him and posted it on a Snapchat story. The video had the caption, bro thought he had a chance. Oh, my heart hurts. My heart hurts. I have two boys. And over 200 people saw it. By the time he got to lunch, It went viral. His humiliation went viral. For many young men my age, these moments aren't just embarrassing. They change how we date. The possibility of being recorded and mocked has made what would be normal interactions feel risky. Trends such as fail compilations or cringe challenges, posts showing awkward mistakes or uncomfortable situations meant to make others laugh, encourage more people to document embarrassing moments. Popular Instagram accounts post people's dating profiles, text conversations, and awkward pickup lines. Sometimes they're anonymous, but not always. Before long, strangers are watching, liking, commenting on a moment that was meant to be private. And humiliation becomes all-encompassing and potentially national in scope. Oh my gosh. How do you overcome this? No human beings in history have ever faced this before. I feel bad for men. Oh my gosh. It's changing how young men are conducting themselves in real life. The threat of public shaming makes normal interactions risky. And at times can lessen the chance young men will pursue relationships. That's so sad. And they're talking about it's not just in the asking out phase either. For instance, your most intimate conversations are now over text, right? Or can be recorded. So later, when the relationship ends, guess where it ends up? On TikTok. Any part of a relationship that's documented digitally, could be emails, could be texts, could again just be a recording that you thought was private at the time that relationship ends. Well, she's got it for all time, or he does. Some young men end up developing a defensive posture so they can't be ashamed. It ends up fueling mistrust, and many young men can turn interactions into battlegrounds where boys feel they must protect their egos. Interactions become games of defensive accusation, and people grow untrustworthy of each other. This causes a cold war among the genders where each side is suspicious. The fear of being filmed or texts or any of it being documented. And it could even just be your friends talking over text about your relationship. I mean, it's... And there is no privacy anymore. This creates an unchecked culture of humiliation and makes the social media world for Gen Z a place where accountability is absent and cruelty is rewarded. Each viral clip brings more attention to not just the one in front of the camera, but the one behind the camera as well. While the person being filmed is embarrassed, the one filming walks away with reputation and clout. That acts as incentive. Is this going on? I actually know this is with my kids and their interactions with people. I'll just leave it that simple. I saw a video that absolutely lurched my heart. It was bullying, and it was a girl that we knew from one of the kids' sports teams. Over 200 kids, comments, liked, just tearing her to pieces. And it was a sports team we played on. My kids didn't even go to her school. But everyone on the sports team saw it because the kids from the school posted it. So you can't run. You can't hide. It was club. Can't run, can't hide. It's not going to just stay among some friends. It's not even stay at your high school. It doesn't matter where you go. You go to your church, you go to your sports team, you go to your activity, scouting, whatever, after school. Everybody knows. Hey, did you see what they said about her? She left that school. By the way, I went to another one, but it doesn't matter. You can't escape it now. It's borderless. Texter writes, the boys need testosterone if they don't get into a fight or two by the time they hit puberty. They're not boys anymore. No. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the problem. The problem is, how do you fight the guy in Australia who just retweeted, reposted, re-TikToked your rejection by a girl in the hall? How do you do that? Texter writes about the last segment about Obama. I mean, he is coming at us with a censorship regime, and he may get it on us by the next election. It is crazy. I'm going to do my Battleground America podcast on that today. I'm going to really lay it out in detail. This is serious. Texter writes, next to be censored will be YouTubers and talk radio hosts. They'll come from talk radio hosts last. Oh, but they'll come. They'll come. So, love to know if your kids are dealing with this online bullying, cyberbullying, won't even ask a girl out because the rejection. I mean, folks, and I've seen this in groups my kids are in, when one kid asks another kid out, I should not know about it. I know about it. Because if she's going to tell her friend, she's going to tell her friend over the phone, and the entire club's going to know. And then the entire school's going to know. And then all the parents are going to know. And everyone's going to say, oh, did she turn him down? Oh, man, they'd have been cute together. Why? I've had that conversation. Folks, I'm seeing this. Texture writes, people need to stay off social media. That'll never happen. Donald Trump, point blank, telling Russia two things. All right, look, I got a really good deal. I offered you a great deal. It was a good deal. They get to keep everything that they have conquered in the Ukraine, and he throws in the Donbass, all of it, for free. They don't even have to conquer that. They could just have it. Putin says no. No, not doing that. Why? Because they're winning. And they think they can get even more. Trump says fine. Threatened them, and I thought it was a terrible idea with Tomahawk missiles. Great way to start World War III. Total violation of their nuclear doctrine that they've had in place for 15 years. Sets us up for a really bad conflict. I was glad to see Trump back down from that. But he's trying to get Russia to the table. And he's on a timeline. And the reason he's on a timeline, he needs this war settled, done, cold for a couple years before he leaves office. Or the Democrats, if they manage to steal the 28 election, because I don't see any other way they're going to win, going to restart this thing. They're going to put American troops on the ground in Ukraine. We know that for a fact, because Joe Biden's head of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charles Brown, said so. He said the Air Force would be in the air and our troops would be on the ground. When asked what the timeline was, he said, well, it's definite. We're definitely going to do it. He said, I just, you know, can't say yet. Why? Because, well, it was before the election. So that's the plan. Then just a couple of days ago came out that Angela Merkel, in a set of comments that was never supposed to be public, she's the former leader of Germany, had planned also to go ahead and schedule and hold World War III because Europeans think it will be profitable for them. And both sides, Russia and Europe, would like for us to finance it. And since there really aren't any Ukrainian men left to fight, since we threw them all in the meat grinder, they're going to want to send Americans. In fact, that's been the plan. When J.D. Vance, this is the background you need to know. So when J.D. Vance ran for office, he was on Laura Ingraham, warning, listen, they're going to draft Americans. They're going to send them to Ukraine if the Democrats win. They just have to win first. He was saying, vote for us. We won't do it. Okay, so Donald Trump knows he's got to stop this war so that when it's so that it is dead enough that when he goes, a generation of Americans doesn't die in the Ukrainian meat grinder for profit. And because these people are just evil. Now, there's a lot of people in Washington. It's the Democrats and part of the Republicans who are neocons who know every time that we have a war, the military industrial contractors, the medevac people who ship out the broken bodies, the, you know, suppliers, the rat lines, all of them, they make a lot of money. A lot of campaign contributions come in. So they want war. And the fact that it could turn thermonuclear, just these people think it just won't happen. Tucker Carlson used to talk a lot about that on Fox News. They just say, no, that won't happen. Russia's cool. They'll let us come in there and tear the place up. And a lot of people die, a lot of profit made, but they won't touch the nukes. Hope they're right. So Donald Trump's trying to bring Vladimir Putin to the table. He made him a heck of an offer. Again, keep everything you've conquered and we'll throw in the Donbass. You haven't even conquered that yet. Not all of it anyway. Putin said no. So now the war of words has commenced. Now that you have that background. So Donald Trump has asked, hey, Putin's out there bragging that he's got a kind of missile that could travel 8,000 miles. They used a precursor of this missile. It wasn't actually loaded with a nuke when Biden was bombing inside of Russia and killing Russians under the guise of NATO, trying to get World War III started. Before Trump could be inaugurated. And Biden backed off when he saw the power of it demonstrated in Ukraine. Russians do have shockingly advanced tech. They really do. Tech we've never seen before. And so that's when Biden and NATO backed off. So Vladimir Putin is, saber-rattling and saying, hey, we've got this tech. It can travel 8,000 miles. What we did on the ground in Ukraine, no big deal. We could do it in Georgia if we wanted to. We'd do it in Greenville if we wanted to. So Trump is asked about this by a reporter. Hey, Russia, you know, did demonstrate they got some advanced stuff that we didn't even think they had. It works. Are you afraid? And Trump's like, nah, I got a sub right off their border. Nuclear one, too.
Russia said this week that they've tested a new missile that can go more than 8,000 miles. Is that saber rattling for you? What is that?
They know we have a nuclear submarine, the greatest in the world, right off their shores. So, I mean, it doesn't have to go 8,000 miles. And they're not playing games with us. We're not playing games with them either. We test missiles all the time. But, you know, we do have a submarine, a nuclear submarine. We don't need to go 8,000 miles.
So Trump's brushing this off. But it's his next comment that has the internet, particularly the left, buzzing. Because it almost sounds like he's rooting for Russia to win the war. He's not. But it sounds like it if you don't have the background. This is the interesting thing he said.
And I don't think it's an appropriate thing to Putin, for Putin to be saying either, by the way. He ought to get the war ended. A war that should have taken 1 week is now in its soon fourth year. That's what he ought to do instead of testing missiles.
What's he talking about? Should have taken 1 week. What does that mean? Well, the background he has, he knows our generals, U.S. generals, have been fighting Russia on the ground in a proxy war. That's Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, admitted that a couple months ago. It's us versus Russia. Thank God it hasn't gone nuclear. That's why it's taken Russia so long to defeat Ukraine. They weren't fighting Ukraine. They were fighting us. Now, could we have won a ground war against Russia? Yes, if we fought full out, we could. Probably. Unless it turned nuclear, then all bets are off. I don't know. But we had to fight it low-key because we had to also have deniability. Us? No, we're not really killing Russians on the ground in Ukraine. That's not us. No, we don't have a war room in Badenburg run by our generals, and we're not prosecuting the war from there. Well, we are. The New York Times finally reported that. Trump has shut that war room down, reportedly. So when he says this should have been over in a week, yes, if Russia was truly just fighting Ukraine, it would have been over in a week. But he's fighting us and low-key our tech. We're not using all of it, though, because it'd be obvious. So what is he saying there? This should have been over in a week. I'm sorry our generals were fighting you. They're not anymore. But they could be. We have a submarine off your coast. Please stop. Because he knows he's got to shut this down before Democrats potentially get back in office, or it's going to be our kids fed into the meat grinder through the draft. Which, as J.D. Vance explained, going into that election, they've already got legislation to do it. By the way, men and women. And if you think it's just here, UK's doing it, France is doing it, and Germany's doing it too. They're openly talking about the war, the planning, how they're going to send UK troops. But folks, they don't have the troops that they need. We do. And Trump knows if he doesn't end this thing one way or another, this is why he's talking nuclear subs and all this. You're like, why is he engaging? He doesn't want war. No, he's trying to stop war because he knows they'll revive it the second he's gone. This is fascinating to watch once you have that background. Folks, today is the last day of early voting in the runoff election, House District 21, Diane Mitchell versus Steve Nail. They finally got all the voting locations out, so you can vote early. Today's the last day to vote early, and then after that, you have to vote on Tuesday. This is a runoff election, so this is one of those where your vote has outsized impact because so few people will vote. District 21, if you live in the Ashton Lakes, Circle Creek, Oakview, Maple Creek, Pelham Falls, Rolling Green, Silver Leaf, Canebrake, Stonehaven, Supermills, Sugar Creek, Thornblade, Palmetto, Granite Creek, or Riverside precincts, you can vote in that. And the polling places are the same as the original election 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago. So be sure to stop by and to vote in that. You can listen to both my interviews. I think there's a huge difference between these two candidates. But I interviewed Diane Mitchell and Steve Nail. I'm not going to say who I would vote for, but if you listen to the interviews, I think you'll come away with a pretty clear impression of who you should vote for. And again, both those are on our website. So check it out, District 21. give a listen to my interviews and check it out. And again, voting. One more day of early voting. Today is the last day of early. It's not today. It's tomorrow is the last day of early voting. My apologies. Tomorrow is the last day of early voting. And so it's today and tomorrow. Then no more early voting. And you vote on Tuesday. Again, District 21 State House.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.